And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live once again right here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in beautiful Baltimore, Maryland. Great to have you with us, friends, on this Friday morning edition of our broadcast. And we've got a great program in store for you today and hope that you will be able to join us, of course, at the outset and then stay with us for the full hour-long broadcast. If you can do that, then you'll be in store for a great message to get things started. And following the devotional message today, we'll open the phone lines and give you an opportunity to share your thoughts with us. That's the unique aspect of the Grace Hour broadcast. It gives our listeners the chance to weigh in and to share their thoughts, questions, comments, testimonies, counseling needs. And as always, your prayer requests are welcome here in our broadcast. And we have reached the end of another week of broadcasting by the grace of God. And our theme throughout this week has been the wonderful words of the upper room, the words of Jesus, John chapter 13, verses 17. And it's been a great week. We've talked about Jesus going, preparing a place for those that trust him, sending the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Helper. Pastor Stephen's message yesterday on the subject of Christian unity, that you and I would be one, even as he and the Father were one. And today, well, today's message on the subject and theme of you and I, by the grace of God, overcoming the world. That was the promise from Jesus to his disciples, to those that believed on him in this upper room discourse. So we're excited about it. Want to remind you that you can join us live in the broadcast when those phone lines are open by dialing one of these numbers. Toll free is 800-338-7060. Again, that's a toll-free number, 800-338-7060. And the local number, 410-483-3700, right here in the Baltimore area. I want to welcome those of you that are listening live at gracehour.org, YouTube Live, Facebook Live. And you folks can send us your comments anytime you like. We hope to hear from you and all of our friends that may be tuning in and listening to the broadcast on our various platforms: Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Audible, Stitcher, and more. Again, the Grace Hour podcast can be heard live, all of these platforms and more. So if you cannot listen to us live, we hope that you'll take the time out of your busy schedule and find the time to listen to today's Grace Hour broadcast. And this has been a tremendous week, as we shared with you earlier, because of the nature of the teaching that we find here in John's Gospel, chapters 13 through 17, often referred to as the Upper Room Discourse, one of those three major teachings of Christ. And here to bring today's devotional message, Pastor Schibelli, who we thought was going to be in the Dominican Republic, but he's here with us today.
And was he going to share the message? Well, he can go right ahead.
We have another special guest with us today in the studio. Pastor Sturge Gorm is with us as well. So, we've got the Trinity of Broadcasters with us today.
Wasn't there a place called Trinity Broadcasting at one
Yes,
time?
There still is.
Look at that.
That's right.
I just want to look at that one verse, and then we can maybe speak about it, Pastor Sturge and yourself, Pastor Love. And that's that 33rd verse, which I think is phenomenal. These things, John 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you. I mean, that's the source right there, that God speaking to us, what he's spoken unto us. These things I have spoken unto you. What does this word of God coming from the mouth of Jesus Christ himself, who is the word of God, what does this produce? That in me you would have peace. In me you would have harmony. The word peace means harmony between God's nature, God's life, God's word, and there would be harmony, absolute peace, harmony with God's nature. That the word that God speaks brings peace, brings peace. I wonder why there's no peace in this world today. Because our people listening to the words that God speaks. If people listened in country after country, in geographical location after geographical location, to the words which God himself had spoke, I don't think there would be a problem with peace at all. But because people do not listen to what God has to say, there is no peace. There really is no peace. So he says, And that can be in my own life. Am I listening to what God says to me? Or am I listening to what the world says as a source? What my old sin nature says? What the enemy himself says? What am I listening to? Maybe I'm not experiencing peace or harmony with God because I'm not hearing the words of God on a continual basis, not once a week for 5 minutes, not glancing at my Bible, twice a month or something, but I'm in my Bible. I'm studying the word of God, 2 Timothy 2:15. I'm learning the word of God, 2 Timothy 3:14. I'm in church hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. And this word, the things that he's spoken, produces peace, harmony with God's nature. See, God's word will always produce harmony with God's nature. Some people are looking for harmony with their old sin nature. And that's why they don't want to listen to what God has to say, because they're looking for harmony outside of, or peace outside of God's nature. They're looking for a false peace, a peace that comes from the old sin nature, a peace that comes from the world or from the enemy himself. But he says, these words that I have spoken unto you, they're going to bring what? They're going to bring peace. And that's amazing. And then he says, in this world, you're going to have what? The word is thlipsis. It means trouble on every side, pressure. In this world, and the Bible very clear what the world is, that which is alien from and in opposition to the life of God. The word is cosmos. It's alien from and opposed to God's life. In this world, you're going to have what? Tribulation. But be of good cheer. Wow, be happy campers. I think you know something about happy campers, don't you? Up in Poconos and wherever else that camping goes on. Happy campers. But be of good cheer. I have what? I have overcome that which is alien from and in opposition to God. I've overcome the world. That God alone has overcome the world. You will never overcome the world through human nature, through a religious system. You'll never overcome, will never overcome the world in that way. He says that he, be of good cheer. I want you to have joy. I want you to have a well mind. The word good cheer is a well mind. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He didn't say you have overcome the world. He said the words I have spoken, I have overcome the world, and we are in him. So in him, we've overcome the world and have a victory over the world. So many Christians today, and even churches today, they have allowed worldliness to come in. They've allowed worldliness to come in to the church, into their own lives, into my life, worldliness coming in. And that's why maybe there's no joy. There's no be of good cheer because I've allowed worldliness to come in. And we know that Satan in 2 Corinthians 4:4 and 2 Corinthians 3:14, he's the god of this world. So I want peace. And I want the peace of God that passes understanding, Philippians 4, 7, and 8. I want God's peace, not just peace. Some people want to go up to some mountain. I remember I went one time at a certain point in my life when I was having nothing but problem after problem after problem. I went to Switzerland, and I went to the Swiss Alps, and I went to the highest place that I could get to. And guess what? There was still trouble there. You know why? Because I brought me with me. Because the trouble was in me, and I didn't know it. The old sin nature. And I wasn't saved at the time, but I got to the place where there was nobody. I thought, peace in the Swiss Alps. This is going to be amazing. And you know what? I found, no. I was in the world, the atmosphere, and what was in me. So let's believe God today that only in Jesus Christ will we find peace, will we find harmony with God, God's nature, God's word, God's life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, friends, you're listening live to the Grace Hour on this Friday morning, and we're glad to be with you and hope that you'll take the opportunity that we give you to join us live on the broadcast. We're going to, again, begin to take your phone calls as soon as you're ready to pick up that phone and dial one of these numbers. The toll-free number in all of North America, it's 800-338-7060. Again, 800-338-7060. And the local number, For those of you calling us in the greater Baltimore area, you would dial 410-483-3700. And we're looking forward to having you share your thoughts with us today about this all-important theme. And maybe present our listeners today with a question. Do you fall into that category of an overcomer? You know, sometimes when we read in passages such as Revelation chapters 2 and 3, as Christ addressed the seven churches of Asia Minor, there was a specific promise in some of those addresses where he spoke to a group that he referred to as the overcomers. I think sometimes we have this idea that certain people are overcomers, but I'm not an overcomer. But yet Jesus said, you know, you're in me, you are an overcomer, and you can overcome the world. So again, it's for all of us, isn't it? We can all share in that overcoming victory.
Even Pastor Sturge.
Even Pastor Sturge.
An overcomer.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
Amen. Your thoughts, Pastor?
Oh, man. I'm just, I immediately thought about John 17 when Jesus, and these words took place in the same location in the upper room, and in his prayer for his disciples. And he said, I pray not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would, not, I don't pray that you would take them out, but that you would keep them from the evil that's in the world. And I think sometimes we think our mentality is, as soon as I get over this tribulation, I'll be okay, right? As soon as I get over, I can't wait to get out of this trouble, right?
Not going to happen.
It ain't going to happen. But I love what Jesus said right before verse 33 in John 16. He says, behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you guys will be scattered each to his own home and will leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone, for the Father is with me. And I was thinking about, he immediately after that he says about overcoming, but he said, it's here I am. You guys are going to leave me alone. I'm going to be in trouble. But the Father is with me. Has not left me alone. And that was his key. That's how he, throughout his whole time on earth, the Father has not left me alone.
You know, what's interesting in John 17, which is that the prayer of Jesus Christ, his prayer to his Father, 19 times the word world is mentioned. 19 times in one prayer, you know, that which is alien from and in opposition to God. So Jesus understood the importance of us knowing that we are overcomers. We've overcome the world. If we don't know that, then eventually the world overcomes us. I mean, we need to have that in our mindset that the devil has no place in me, and he's the God of this world, and I want no place. And a lot of churches, sad to say, and even believers, and all of us at times, can let the world in, the world's value system, the world's ways, how the world does things. I remember I was in a church one time, and they said they were bringing in this man to help us to fundraise, but he wasn't a Christian. I said, really? Make sure that when he speaks, I'm not there. I said, I'll be doing something else. I don't know exactly what, maybe cleaning bathrooms in the church or something like that. But you know what? I'm not interested, because maybe he had ideas, but they were from the world. They were not from the mind of God. And I found out later, that's exactly where they were. They were from the world, you know, ways of making money to, you know, bring into the church and using the world's formulas, which when you mix them up together, you'll find out you'd be drinking poison. Oh, yeah. Just drinking some poison. That's all.
You know, these words, Jesus said, in the world, you'll have trouble. But I think the way to counter that is to recognize that although we very much are in the world, there's no question about that. But more importantly than that, we're in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that we're in Christ gives us that spirit that overcomes the world that we live in. And of course, getting back to that prayer that Pastor Sturge mentioned, you know, we're in the world, but we're not of it. And it's so important, as you mentioned, Pastor Schiavelli, that we maintain that separation from the impact and the evil effects of the world. And I just love the fact that Jesus said, Father, I'm not praying that you'd isolate them. Jesus wasn't thinking of some kind of a monastic movement that we would be hidden away from the world. He said, I don't want you to isolate them. What I'm praying is that you would insulate them mm-hmm. from the mm-hmm. evil effects of the world system.
Insulate, not isolate.
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah.
And yeah, and the we're in the world, but the world is not in us.
Amen.
And that's the key.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking about, you've always said that with the teenagers. You know, we're not here to isolate you, but we're here to give you what you need so that you can deal with what you enter into in the world, because they're going to deal with the same things we do. But John 17:17, set them apart by the truth. Your word is truth. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah. And when we're talking about the world, we're talking about what scholars referred to as the cosmos diabolicus. A world system that is controlled by the God of this present mm-hmm. world system in 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan himself. So that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about the world in and of itself. We're talking about the system that energizes the world, the spirit of the world, mm-hmm. the Zeitgeist, the Germans mm-hmm. use that word, the spirit of the age. That's what we need to guard our hearts against, because that's where those influences mm-hmm. try to infiltrate our soul. That's where they come from.
Yeah.
I like this verse in Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God. That's interesting. And our Father. He says, so it's not just Jesus saying, Paul says that through the inspiration of the Spirit, this present evil world. Present evil world. Paul says, I'm living in it too. But we get delivered by God. Deliver us from evil. Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. And so, and by the way, I think it gets more sophisticated, right? Romans chapter 12, the night is far spent, that evil waxes worse and worse, 2 Timothy 3:13. It gets more sophisticated. And the church has to be developed in doctrine so it's able to recognize the way that the world's coming at the church and the believer. And if I'm not growing in grace and truth and grace and the word of God, will I recognize the evil initiations that the world has? And it can come almost looking good sometimes. Come looking good, you know? Oh, this is not a bad deal, you know? Love everybody. Yes, love everybody, but I don't love what they do. We love. Love goes beyond our faults and sees our needs. But I don't love what people do. I can love the drug addict. Do I love drugs? No. I can love a man, but do I love the fact that he's a thief? No, I don't like theft. I don't like murder. We don't love that. We hate it. By the way, if you love God, you're going to hate evil.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking too, Pastor Schiavelli, getting back to the whole thing of the world and evil, like Jesus in that prayer, I was thinking of different examples. Lord, Father, I don't pray that you'll take Richard Warmbrandt out of prison
mm-hmm.
for 14 years. Father, I pray that you'll keep him from the evil that's in the prison.
Mm-hmm.
I don't,
mm-hmm.
you know, for Corrie Ten Boom, I don't pray, Father, that you'll take her out of the concentration camp, but I pray that you'll keep her from. And isn't that how the world sees mm-hmm. the reality that the peace that we have is real? It's
yeah.
not just, it's just not this fake peace that people want, you know?
It's not peace based on circumstances. It's peace based on a person, Jesus Christ. That's
yeah.
the key. Anybody out there?
Well, now's the time to join us. The phone lines are open, and we're ready to hear from you. At 800-338-7060, that is toll-free anywhere in the United States or Canada, and locally in the Baltimore area, you can give us a call at 410-483-3700. Great time for you to weigh in. What are your thoughts about the world that we live in and the fact that Christ has, again, promised us that we can live in this world mm-hmm. like overcomers? You know, it's interesting, too, that in that passage, some have suggested, because Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. Unfortunately, a lot of believers said, well, there's proof, there's evidence that we're going to go through the tribulation. But he wasn't making reference to the great tribulation of, you know, that's going to happen after the church is removed from the earth in the rapture. He's just talking about trouble, mm-hmm. trouble in general. Because if you're in this world, there's trouble everywhere, right?
Really?
Yeah. Even on the top of one of those mountains in Switzerland.
Right, way up there, yes. Isn't Paul say it in 2 Corinthians 4:7, trouble on every side?
Yeah.
Without
as a Christian.
Fighting, within with fears. As a Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's trouble. There's trouble. I mean, maybe Christians that are carnal and not spiritual don't even recognize that there's trouble. Because maybe it's just their lifestyle, per se. But there's trouble. There's going to be opposition to God. There's going to be opposition to prayer, opposition to the Bible, opposition to evangelism, opposition. You know, I mean, it's amazing. It's everywhere. Maybe we don't see it as intense as some people see it in other countries, but there's opposition. We're still looking for somebody out there. You're out there. You're in the world, but you're not of it. So you could call us, who hopefully are growing in our capacity to be in the world, but not of it.
Amen. Yep. And we heard the other night from Roger Robbins, who shared our Wednesday night service from Job chapter 5, verse 8, that man is born unto trouble.
Hey,
as the sparks fly upward.
Whew.
Right?
Born unto trouble.
It happens. You're in this world. There's trouble. But I love the fact that we can be in the world, not of it, and free from the domain of that trouble. We do not have to come under the jurisdiction or the control of
Amen.
That trouble. We're delivered from it.
My mother told me that I was trouble since the day I was born, even before that. And I said, Ma, how could you say that to me?
Mothers always speak the truth, right?
Yeah, I said that was trouble. But then, you know, when I got saved, things changed. And I became trouble for the devil.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Amen.
I want to trouble.
That's good trouble.
Enemy. That's
good trouble.
Trouble. Troubling the enemy. Yes.
Well, friends, again, great time to give us a call. We want to hear from you. The three of us, well, we could talk about this theme for hours, but we want to hear what your thoughts are. So if you can, go to your phones and fill up those lines.
They can call
Donna,
anywhere.
Yeah, that's right. Anywhere.
Anywhere.
Overseas. Here in America, Canada. Heck, you can call us from Hawaii if you want.
Canada?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
We haven't heard from Renee in a long time, have we? Or maybe she's been on recently. Wasn't here.
She may still be lamenting over the Canadians not making the playoffs.
Oh.
Yeah.
What a trouble that is to bear, huh?
Yeah. And she takes it very, very seriously, very personally.
Oh, you know what? That sport started up there. So
yeah,
that's why
they're so disappointed, because their team is not so good.
They've been nothing but trouble, you mean? They have been nothing but trouble?
They have been trouble. But, Renee, if you can reach out to us, we'd love to hear from you. Anyone up in Canada, here in the continental United States, around the globe for that matter. If you can't reach us by phone, of course, you can send your comments to us on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, at gracehour.org.
We have
as well.
A bunch of comments there, don't we?
Yeah, I like what Carol said. You know, she's quoting from Revelation chapter 12, and, of course, that describes a time during the tribulation period, and those that are believing God in the midst of the tribulation, and it says there that they became overcomers because of the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives mm-hmm. unto the death. Mm-hmm. So again, imagine, even in the tribulation period, you're mm-hmm. going to have people that are allowed, that are, by grace, are going to live like overcomers.
Mm. How about that promise in Psalm 46:10 that we love so much? God is my refuge and strength, a very present help. In what? Trouble. Ooh. A very
trouble.
Present help in trouble. And so isn't, like we said before, what is our testimony to the onlooking world? It's not that everything is going well with us, we're making a lot of money, everything is comfortable, you know, we go to church once a week and we're just, you know, nice people. But our testimony is, I'm in trouble, but I have peace in the middle of the trouble. I'm at my job, I'm being persecuted, but I have peace. I have joy, right? What a testimony that is. In the middle of trouble, I still have joy. And isn't that what the world desperately needs to see in the life of believers?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, we're waiting.
Well,
who's going to be the first caller?
Renee has written to us on Facebook Live. She says, I love you too. And she says, we're listening from Montreal and being blessed by you three. Isn't that great? Yeah.
Good listening. From
Evie Santiago sends her greetings, Pastor Schinelli.
From Florida.
Amen. And Donna Melanson is tuning in and listening today, as well as our dear sister Carol Massengill, who mentioned that verse in Revelation chapters 12.
That's a great verse.
Sure is.
Listen how they overcome. By the blood, finished work. The Lamb, the person of Christ. The Word, their testimony, which is faith. And they loved not their lives unto the death, because they were loved by God. So five aspects of overcoming. Finished work, blood, the person of Christ, the Lamb, the Word of God, faith, and love. That's how they overcame. That's amazing. That's amazing.
That's a recipe for overcoming.
That's a recipe for overcoming. It's not a recipe for becoming overweight, is it? It's overcoming or overweight.
No, overcoming.
Pastor Sturgeon,
what's the recipe?
Yeah.
What's the recipe to join us?
Pastor Sturgeon knows the recipe for not getting weight.
It's a gift from God.
It's a gift from God. As much macaroni as you eat, too. Right?
And he's got, you know, he's got quite an appetite, too. I don't know if you've ever seen
it. I've seen it happen, and I had to go away because I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. And then I love the way that when he has his meals, he guards his food. When people get near him, he starts to get,
If you grew up in a certain household, like I grew up in an Italian household, and we always had people over to eat, and I would always look at what was there, and then I think about who was there. And I say, how's this going to work? You know, and you got to guard your food. Yeah. Yeah, because I had relatives that would have this idea. They would take their fork and put it into your plate.
Wow.
No. You know what? Richard Wurmbrand did that one time. He was eating dinner with somebody, and the person was really not spiritual. And he kept putting his fork into their plate and taking their food and eating it. And he said to them, I see this really troubles you. I can see that you're really not spirit-filled. He says, I didn't have food for like all these, you know?
Yeah.
And could you imagine sitting next to him and having him do that and like reacting? And he's just looking at you like, I can see. He goes, I can see that you're not spirit-filled.
I remember those days in the fellowship hall when you'd have your lunch there and a sandwich and perhaps some French fries. And Pastor Stevens used to just help himself to your French fries and say, I don't want a lot. I just want just a couple. I used to think that is because he knew I shouldn't be eating French fries, but I really love them. So let me just have a couple of yours.
And then became more than a couple?
Yeah, well, he liked them, like all of us like French fries, but he knew I shouldn't be eating them, not wholesale like that. But Pastor Sturge, I mean, yeah, the scriptures we understand says, you know, guard your heart, but guard your food? I don't know. Basis
maybe
for that.
I just need to, like, not count my life dear to myself.
We're waiting for your calls, friends. This is the right time to pick up that phone and to join us overcoming the world. You know, there's a lot of our listeners that probably think to themselves, I see myself in that category. I don't see myself as an overcomer. I see myself in the battle, in the struggle. Most of the time, picking myself up after I have fallen, maybe I should think of myself differently. Or maybe I should recognize who I am in Christ.
There you go.
And count on that perfect position before God and operate from that. And I'll begin to see the spirit of overcoming the world in my heart.
Did Jesus overcome? Yes. Am I in him? Yes. I'm an overcomer.
Yep.
Yeah, it's as simple as that, really, you know. This is our victory, even our faith, 1 John 5, 4, and 5. My faith in his victory at the cross. He overcame, and I'm in him. So, okay, maybe my experience is there's a struggle, or there could be, like, times when victory, and then what's going on now, you know. But in positional truth, I am an absolute overcomer. And I have to understand that, and then adjust myself to my position instead of relating to my experience. Too many times we can relate to our experience and think that. See, that's the devil's lie. The devil wants you to think your experience is your position. And God wants you to know your position can be your experience. He's a liar and the father of all lies. So he's, you're this is happening in your life. That's who you are. No, that's not who I am. That might be what's taking place, but I'm victorious.
Yeah. Amen. You know, we have this spring rally coming up. We'll be leaving right after a launch trap today heading to the Pocono Mountains. Almost a couple of hundred teenagers that will be joining us up there for a weekend. And, you know, oftentimes when you're in a setting like that with young people, they get so encouraged. They get so built up. I mean, they're listening to messages. They're worshiping God. They're fellowshipping with other young people. And they get encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a real overcoming atmosphere that's present there. But so often the young people think, okay, I have that here, but now I'm going home. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going back to my everyday life. I don't have this setting. I'm not listening to three messages a day. I'm not fellowshipping with other believers. I'm not consistently worshiping God. But I would say this. Is that opportunity available to you?
Yes.
When you
yes.
get home? Do you have a local church? Do you have yes. a youth ministry? Are you able to meet on a regular basis? Because this isn't something that just has to take place when you go to the rally or you go to the camp program and you have a great time and you're greatly encouraged and built up in God. You can live that way every day of your life. You just have to make a provision, not for your flesh, but for your spirit.
Well, it's like what Jesus said. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It's kind of like I used to tell the kids in my Bible class. I said, the old Chinese proverb, you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. You teach him to fish, and you feed him for a lifetime. It's like, it's as believers, this is what it means to continue in the word, right?
Yes.
We continue in it, and then we're free. It's not just one message here and there. It's a lifestyle.
Amen. So true.
It's not a hit or miss thing. Like, you know, it's like, and that's the thing. It's like asking God to give us grace and help us to develop and to see that lifestyle come to pass and making decisions, you know, making decisions because those are great. But remember, they were up on the mountain. They were like, wow, let's make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Wow, hallelujah. What a mountaintop experience. Come down the mountain, and there's the demonic boy in the valley just waiting, you know? And Jesus was just as good on the mountain as he was in the valley.
Amen.
He was the same miracle-working God up there as he was down below. And I have to recognize it. And I have to recognize that these mountaintop experiences are amazing, but they're supposed to be the provision for the valley. They're supposed to be the provision for everyday life, you know? Oh, we had a tremendous time at convention, and rightly so. Okay, now what? What about the next 51 weeks? You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what about the next 51 weeks? You know, or like, had an awesome time. And then, you know, get ready because maybe tomorrow will not be so awesome. It really is awesome, but maybe the external things or that which is experiential, maybe we won't see that the way we saw it.
That's,
you know, like.
That's so true.
Yeah.
It wasn't the accusation of the people's. That did not know the God of Israel. That was their accusation. Your God is the God of the mountain. He's not the God of the valleys.
Right. Right.
And I think sometimes as believers, we can live that way. We send a message. When I'm at a convention, I see the God of the mountain.
Yeah.
When I'm at the youth rally, he's the God of the mountain.
Yes.
But isn't he the God of the valleys as well? Well, of course he is.
Yes.
And that's what God said to his people. He said, listen, you know me. I'm the God of the mountain, and I'm the God of the valleys. I am with you even during your darkest hours of life. And when a crisis strikes and tragedy comes and difficulties overwhelm you, I'm right there with you. And, of course, that's when we know and need to sense that, you know, he's really there. We need him the most.
I mean, that's what he was saying right there in John 16. You guys are going to leave. You're going to leave. You're going to leave me. Everybody's going to forsake me, but the Father has not left me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was thinking about it, just getting back to, you know, how we are in the valley sends the greatest message to the world, the onlooking world, doesn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking of a testimony, just something that happened in my own life. Pastor Sleeve and I were up in Aberdeen setting up an event at that Cal Ripken Stadium up
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
And it took us about probably 45 minutes. We set up a nice booth, had it all set up. And we're just getting ready to leave, and this lady comes up to us, and she was furious. She was livid. She said, "What are you doing? This is my booth." She wanted to rip our head off. And at that moment, God said, "Go low." He just said, "Go low." And we just said, "Hey, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry that we did that. We're going to take our booth down, and we're going to help you set yours up." We didn't react to her. We were just super kind to her. And by the end of that time, she was like our best friend. But I thought that was trouble.
Yeah.
And she needed to see Christ in the trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And it won her heart, you know. And God does that. Doesn't he do that to us all the time? In our marriages, with our families, at our jobs. It's that test, you know. It's that, you know, to see if what we have is genuine.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, we're enjoying the conversation here live in the studio and waiting for your phone calls. Haven't got them yet. I'm wondering if we're having some trouble with our phones. Our engineer is telling us, nope, the phones are working just fine. So we just need to hear from you, friends. We hope that some of you will, again, weigh in, because this subject matter impacts all of us. Because I don't know of a believer that doesn't want to live an overcoming quality of life. So, again, the impact touches all of us, because maybe I'll ask a question to both of you. What's the provision that we have from God to live this life in this world as an overcomer? What is his provision for
Number
us?
Number one,
yes,
the person of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Number two, the Word of God. Number three, the church. Right? The church. The Holy Spirit, born again, the Spirit will indwell you. John chapter 14, verse 17, be with you, indwell you, live in you. We have an opportunity to have a local church where we can be fed the Word of God. We can have fellowship with other believers. We got the Bible, how God thinks, right? We've got his faith. We live by the faith of the Son of God, Galatians 2:20 and 21. Another provision is we are loved by God regardless of what takes place in our lives. Those are some pretty good provisions.
Amen.
Excellent. How about John 15? I mean, we're thinking about abiding.
Yes.
I mean, we are to Jesus what the branch is to the vine. Without the vine, the branch can't do anything. It cannot bear fruit. Without Jesus, we can't love people. We can't be patient with people. We can't have peace. There's no joy when we're not abiding. But he said, if you abide, the word meno, right, Pastor Shabelli? Meno, abide.
Right.
Means to be at home, to
dwell, just,
to well
live in.
To live in
yeah.
me. You know, if you do that, guess what? You're going to bear fruit, not just in the good times, but in the bad times as well.
Mm-hmm. Did we give a good answer?
Oh, absolutely. I'm thrilled.
That was close.
Yeah. But, you know, just to go back to what Pastor Sturridge just said, you know, during the good times and the bad times, when the Word of God, one of those provisions that Pastor Shabelli just mentioned, well, when we are delighting in God's words and we're meditating on God's words day and night, well, the scripture says in Psalm 1, verse 3, we are like a tree planted by the rivers of water.
Mm-hmm.
We bring forth fruit in his season, and our leef doesn't wither, and whatever we do prospers. Good times, bad times, God allows our souls to prosper. And when our souls prosper, well, God says, when your soul is prospering, I can even bless you with material and financial blessings because you've got a healthy soul.
What about that verse? The trial of your faith is more precious than gold. Wait a minute. I don't want trials. Oh, by the way, you're always in one, because the old sin nature is fighting against the new man. The new man against the old sin nature. The world is fighting the church, and Jesus has victory over the devil. You know, it's like, come on. I mean, warfare never ends. nobody likes to like talk about it or admit it, but warfare doesn't end until you go home to be with the Lord. But I don't have to be living in it, so conscious of it that it controls my thinking. I think we have a call, or is that?
We do have a caller. It's a relative of Pastor Sturge, his own sister.
Really?
Jenny Perry. Oh. Jenny, welcome.
Imagine having a sister like her. That's amazing.
I can't imagine.
Wow. I wish I had a sister like you. I never had a sister. I had a brother.
First order of business, Jenny. Pastor Schiavelli and I would like, we want to adopt you.
Yes.
Well, you,
children
you,
of grace.
Sister.
Children of
That's
grace.
Right.
Sister.
That's
we're
right.
We're in the same family, remember?
Yes.
I look just like you.
Wow, she just corrected us really really lovingly.
Jenny. She's so doctrinally accurate.
She just came in with accuracy.
Really?
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family
oh
of God.
Gosh. I learned that from you, Pastor Schiavelli. Accuracy. Preciseness. I can see you say it now. I can't see your face, but preciseness.
Preciseness.
So I said to my, I just arrived at this job, and I said to my husband, can I please postpone clocking in so that I can call? I said, I can't bear it.
It's clocking or calling.
I said, I love these three men of God, and nobody's calling. So I don't have great things to say, but I do have a comment. I was thinking, Pastor Sturge, what you said about how the world needs to see us in trouble. They really need to see the contrast of what it's like for them to go through trouble and what it's like for us to go through trouble. Mm. And I thought of... I don't have my Bible with me, but I'm thinking about about Daniel before he went into the lion's den. And who was the king at that time? Was it
Darius?
Darius,
Darius, yes. Okay, and you know how Darius, he did not want, he was grieved, and he didn't want Daniel to go into the lion's den, and he couldn't sleep that night, and the next morning he ran to the den and yelled into Daniel, you know, tell me if you're alive, so to speak. And he was so relieved when he found that Daniel was alive. But I thought, you know, Lord, he was fond of Daniel and respected him. But I believe that what it was is that King Darius saw this amazing peace and poise and you know, we would say finish work, poise, and Daniel, and everything inside of him longed to have that, and he knew he didn't, but he saw it in Daniel, and when he knew that Daniel might be perishing, he didn't want that. He saw the treasure in Daniel, and he wanted that, and
he saw Daniel's God, because he said,
yes,
when he came
did.
Down, he said, Daniel, did your God deliver you? And Daniel said, he did. So he actually saw the God of Daniel.
Oh, wow. That's right. Yes. And that's a ruler. That's a king. And I'm thinking, yes, there's our family. There are our neighbors, our workplaces, etc. But then there are leaders like... I think we don't have to be afraid of being thrown into jail for our convictions or coming, you know, having to go to court and be on trial like Pavi Rossinen was, because these leaders need to see our God, as you said, Pastor Love. They need to see what we're like in trouble and when we are in tight places. And that maybe will be what finally persuades them that these people are not just about religion. They are about this God of peace, this person of peace.
It's amazing to think that they can look at us going through our fiery trials and see that we have an air-conditioned spirit in the midst of it all. Right?
And
it's like, how do they say that? How do you do it? How do you get through this?
It's God.
Yeah. I mean, I think they said the same thing about the children of Israel. You're in a desert. How can you survive in a desert? How can God bring something that would sustain a person in the desert? And the answer is, our God is with us. He provides. He meets our every need.
And by the way, God always, I remember one time I was arrested in front of a package store for witnessing to a heroin addict at a mall. And they said, you can't do that here. So they arrested, listen to this, I'm in front of a liquor store giving gospel tracts to heroin addicts, and the police tell me I have to leave. And I said to them, basically, I don't know about that, you know, and they handcuffed me, put me in jail, brought me down to the prison in Springfield, and then put me in a cell. And there was another guy in a cell, and he was on the top bunk asleep, and he woke up and he goes, oh no, Pastor Schiavelli. And God had brought me there just for him. I could say, like, I'm here for you, Ronald. Wow. His name was Ronald, you know? And I thought, I got his last name, but I won't say it. And, you know, that trouble was allowed by God to bring me to a place where I could meet Ronald, you know? And that wasn't a very strange way to do it. I mean, I could have picked better other ways maybe, you know, but it was God's hand and God's way of doing it. So there's going to be trouble, but we meet the God of peace in the trouble. Praise this is God. The key.
That's awesome. Well, Jenny, we can't thank you enough for calling us.
This is the Perry Show. This is the Perry Show. The Perry Grace Hour. The Perry Grace Hour.
Oh, I love you. I love you three so much. And thank you. Thank you. I know many people would call in if they could. They're either working or you know, can't get to a phone. But we love you. And I tell you what, this program means so much to us. It has for so many years. And we can't thank you enough for it.
I can't thank you enough for coming back to Africa this January. It's going to be amazing.
Oh, you're welcome. I'll just say ahead of time, you're welcome, my friend.
We need you in Ghana, Togo.
Pastor Schiavelli, those ladies and the French women's Bible study, French-speaking Bible study for women, those ladies are amazing.
Yes.
They are amazing ladies.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Okay, my husband's making a lot of noise, so I better hang up.
All right.
Time to punch in.
Yes.
Thank you, Jenny.
Thanks, Jenny.
God bless you.
This is, I got this today. I want to just mention it. We have Children of Grace, which is part of our ministry. And we have orphans, 300 of them.
Where?
Actually. Oh, in many countries. In Uganda.
In Africa.
In Africa, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Ghana, Togo, Burkina Faso, Benin, Uganda, Kenya, Southern Africa, Malawi. And they had a real desire to have solar panels because they're in total darkness. They're in a place called Nebi, which there's no electricity. There's nothing there. And so the kids have to, you know, they can't read at night. They can't do anything at night. It's just total. And by the way, Africa's dark. It's like, you know, there's no like street lights everywhere. Everything. It's just everything. All right. And somebody gave us a donation and we were able to put solar panels up and they sent me the pictures today. So all the kids can have even study their Bibles and study at night. They're putting them up here.
Praise God.
And whatnot. And just for $1,000, we were able to install solar paneling for the church and for the orphan's dormitory. And that's amazing. Church, Bible school, and dormitory. So let there be
that's
light.
Awesome.
And there was light.
That's very
God used an amazing person who just gave it. That's a large amount, but it's a small amount too in all reality, and able to bring light to this place that's it's right on the border of the Congo. It's got the Congo to one side and Sudan to the north of it. And we've got orphans there, a Bible college, and a church there. And it's amazing what's going on.
Praise God. Thank you.
Let there be light.
Yeah. Thank God for those that are able to give and support the work and the ministry. The Children of Grace, that's the name of it. That's the ministry. That's the ministry
orphans.
To these orphans. And
orphans.
For those of you that have given to
thank
Children
you.
Of Grace, yeah, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And those of you that don't know about it but want to give, it's always available, right? How would they do that?
Always available. They would just call the missions office or...
Yeah, call our 800 number.
Call our
ask
800
for missions.
Number, yeah. And we can give you information about orphans and the great possibilities that there are. like I said, we have 300 of them right now we're supporting. And I think I mentioned on the program, two of our orphans that came from the country of Chad, great poverty, they came, they were raised in our orphanage in Uganda. They went to Bible school, they got married, and now they're on their way back to Chad as missionaries.
Wow.
That's a story.
Wow. Praise God.
That's a story.
That's amazing.
Well, we still have time to take your phone call. We certainly appreciated Jenny's call, and we still have about 10 minutes left in the broadcast. That's more than enough time for you to get to a phone and dial one of these numbers, 800-338-7060, and the local number 410-483-3700. Mm-hmm. Gentlemen?
Well, I just the thing about the orphans, I thought, what a picture of what we're just talking about. There are these kids, no mom, no dad. Yeah. I mean, you know, think about growing up without a mother, without a father. I mean, talk about trouble. And yet,
yes,
there's redemption.
And some of them, it's more than just growing up without a mom and a dad. Sometimes they had to leave their country, so there's no family. They have nobody. No uncles, no aunts. They might be there, but they're not. They had to get out of maybe a country that was war-torn, that's in the area. In East Africa, has had 6 million people that have died in East Africa alone through genocides and different troubles and warfare that's happened. But out of it comes this incredible group of people, or these people, and many different churches with many different organizations going in there and just delivering the message of grace. And it's incredible what can take place.
Yeah.
It really is.
They must be so thankful, those
yeah.
kids.
I was wow. with them April? What month is this?
This is May.
May. Okay. I was with them in April. And just to see the thankfulness and the gratitude in their hearts to the ministry of Greater Grace and Children of Grace. And it's incredible. And like, maybe that's a debt that's something that will take place in their heart that will never leave them. That will never leave them. Mm-hmm. So incredible.
Well,
you can join us live, friends. Still have time to take your call. So if you're able to make it, please do so and weigh in. We have spent a great deal of time this week discussing the words of Jesus from the Upper Room Discourse, of course, beginning in the 13th chapter of John, right up through and into the 17th chapter. Pastor Shibley was here on the Tuesday broadcast talking about what Christ has done in terms of preparing a place for all of those that trust him. That speaks of our future home. And then, of course, he did not leave us alone, but sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to us in the 14th chapter. Pastor Sturge brought out in the 15th chapter today that wonderful principle of abiding in Christ. And, of course, all of the blessings and benefits that come along with abiding in Christ, right? Mm-hmm. Prayer that is effectual, joy that is out of this world and celestial, and then fruit mm-hmm. in John 15:16 that is perpetual. Fruit that remains. And then you get into the 17th chapter, which we heard yesterday with Pastor Stevens, unity, the body of Christ, the oneness that is ours, that praise God, we don't have to create, but then we do have a responsibility to endeavor to keep that mm-hmm. unity. And then, of course, today, overcoming the world. And, you know, it goes without saying that this world and its powerful influence it has to be recognized by every believer mm-hmm. because there's a magnetism to this world system, isn't it? The world, if we're not being drawn by grace through faith to Christ, chances are we're being drawn by this world system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have that warning. John
yes.
has given it the prohibition. Don't love mm-hmm. this world, mm-hmm. either anything that's in this world. And then he summarizes it, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. All these things are the world and not of the Father. And you can't have it both ways. And that brings us to this mm-hmm. point. What about those who have become professional fence straddlers? You know, I got a foot in the world, but I've got a foot in the kingdom of God. I really like what the world has to offer, but I don't want to turn my back on what God has to give me. You can't stay on that fence for very long.
But you see, in Africa, they split chickens like this. And they grab one leg and the other, and they split them that way. You end up falling on the fence.
And usually
on
the wrong side,
the
right?
Other, huh?
Yeah. Usually in the wrong side.
Yeah, or you fall right down the middle. right into the fence.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I remember trying to live that way as a young believer.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up in this world. I was indoctrinated, if you will, by this world system. So I had every intention of, once I got saved, to continue to live in that world, while at the same time recognizing my responsibility to be a Christian in the world that I found myself in. And I really thought that I could do both. Boy, was I wrong.
Demas has forsaken me, 2 Timothy 4:11, having agaped this present world. The word that's used there is a self-sacrificing love for the world. And if the enemy had the audacity to tempt Jesus face to face, Matthew 4, don't think he's not coming after the church or the believer. And not that we're afraid, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, but recognize there will be an attack. And churches that say they're not under attack usually is because they're worldly. Why should the devil attack something he owns? Or he's kind of controlling a bit. Maybe I shouldn't say own, but I mean, come on, you know? We don't ever face any. We don't know what you're talking about with all this tribulation and attacks and all that. We don't have that. Well, take a look at.
Ask yourself a question.
Yeah, ask yourself
why
a
not?
Question.
Madeline is joining us from up in Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Pittsfield.
Madeline, welcome to the Grace Hour.
Hi, sir. Oh, I'm so blessed by all three of you. I could just listen to you all the time. I love it. I love it.
Thank you.
Just thinking of what Billy Graham said. This is not my home. I'm just passing through. Wow. Time is it's just like it's the season we're in now. It's just like what bad is good, good is bad. But it's so amazing. People are just drawn. I'm just seeing so many people are drawn to the light of Christ in me. It's like, you know, it's amazing. God is good, and had an interesting day yesterday, but God is good. And then I got blessed when I got to go swimming and got to pray for this precious great-grandmother named Sharon.
And wow.
It's just God is so good, and she let me do it, and it was just beautiful. I love divine appointments. Just,
yeah, and God gives us plenty of those, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. And I just, it's kind of like you were saying, I know as a woman, I can respond in my emotions. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. God's got this. I'm okay.
Beautiful.
Relax, and then he blesses me, and I just want to share that.
Well, thank you. We're glad that you did, and that's a great way to close the program on. Thank you, Madeline.
Yeah. Oh, God bless you all. Thank you.
Thanks. All right, and thank you, Pastor Schiavelli, Pastor Sturge Gorham. You've been listening to the Gorham Hour. Pardon me. You've been listening to the Grace Hour. You had Pastor Sturge and his sister on. I thought we were on the Gorham Hour. Thanks for joining us, friends. Have a great weekend. Don't forget, you can come to church here in Baltimore. Join us at the Greater Grace World Outreach, 9 a.m., 11 a.m. on Sunday, and then 6:30 p.m. Have a great weekend. We'll be back with you on Monday.